and the exposure to the resources offered by the library created an opportunity for the students to take this information and pass it on to their friends, family, and other members of their community, thus building leadership within the community itself. We feel that this education, exposure, and opportunities are vital to the building of a more integrated community here in Portland. During our second class, we had a student that had already submitted her application to become a citizen of the U.S. and was attending the class to help prepare her for the interview and the exam. Midway through the class, she was called to her interview, and she passed. Very excited for the entire class and for herself. Upon returning to the class, she gave us the good news, and I asked her what she was going to do to celebrate. And she said, register to vote and apply for a passport. Mm-hmm. Of course, we congratulated her, and many of the members stated, as we congratulated her, that they wished and hope for the day that they are able to be able to vote in this country themselves. Now, an anecdote given within that class, at the same time, our program has a voter education project and can be backed up by a lot of data with very many people doing instantly once they get their citizenship, applying for their voting privileges. So we have leaders waiting to participate in our democratic community right now. Through our citizenship classes, the students were able to learn about the benefits of becoming a U.S. citizen, and 100% of these students have applied for naturalization or are in the process of application. For the following year, we hope to provide 3 bilingually taught citizenship classes sessions in East Portland. Sites will include EMO member churches and the Multnomah County Midland Library. Each session will continue to consist of two-hour-long classes once per week for 10 weeks. We will serve at least 20 lawful permanent residents in East Portland, again targeting the Spanish-speaking community. These classes will be taught by a bilingual and bicultural instructor, much like myself, and we will hold new citizen celebrations to encourage immigration integration and invite community members to meet our successful new U.S. citizens. We thank you for your time, and we ask for your continued support in providing this essential programming to East Portland.
Thank you. Wow, 100% on the way to naturalization. That's pretty great.
And now, thank you. It is actually fantastic to be able to have people applying and moving forward with their citizenship and naturalization process via these programs. So now I will introduce Mike Vanderveen and for their closing and request of City Council response.
Mike, welcome.
This is it. Final guy.
Drum roll.
Thank you guys so much. I'm just so impressed. My name is Mike Vanderveen, and I'm a co-chair of the East Portland Action Plan. So Arlene and I are bookending this presentation to you guys. I don't have written remarks because I knew that there would be tons of amazing written remarks read, and the depth would be just amazing. I'm going to take a quick moment just personally to say I've been engaged with the East Portland Action Plan since day one. And it has been amazing. It's been a part of my development as a community organizer in East Portland. When I was an AmeriCorps member serving for 2 years doing asset-based community development, I literally couldn't do my job in East Portland. There was not the networks and the infrastructure and the social connectedness required to do what I needed to do in an immediate neighborhood. And I found myself working at a higher level with groups like we're engaging with the EPAP and others. And as I worked out of the East Portland neighborhood office and going to various meetings, I ran into a wonderful city staffer, Barry Manning. And he was like, I'm seeing you a lot. You need to consider serving on this group. And so that's, you know, kudos to the city of Portland for launching the East Portland Action Plan, for having the vision to unlock the abundance of the community. And sorry, I get emotional when I think about it. So I'm just going to cut to the chase and help you make a decision here. Ask for your vote to support these grants that we have before you. And to thank you so much for having us in the budget and set to go for funding for next year. And we're excited. We've got our priorities. You're seeing them in front of you. And we're excited to move forward.
Thank you very much. So questions for any of these panelists that have spoken, and most of them are still here. I didn't stop you as you were proceeding because it was obviously a well-organized presentation and a good one. Thank you. Unfortunately, we cannot take action today because Commissioner Saltzman's been taken ill and is not able to come back to the council session. So I would suggest that we have questions and discussions and comment here today, and that we set this over onto the consent calendar for next week, so it'll simply be approved automatically when we take up the consent calendar, assuming that's the will of the council.
Mr. Mayor, so, if yes. I can interrupt, if that's the plan, I think I'm entertaining a motion to remove the emergency ordinance before you finish up today is probably also a way to, or the emergency clause.
Well, we might need to leave the emergency clause in order for the spending to take place.
That's, right? I mean, that's.
So may we just continue the item?
I think
onto the regular calendar and
postponing
then
to a date certain next week and leaving the emergency clause on.
Okay,
is probably
let's do
a good
that because otherwise there's a 30-day delay. So let's do that. Thank you, good counsel. Questions, comments.
I just want to say how much I appreciate the work all of you have done, and how much easier it makes my job advocating for transportation funding, because without you, I can stand up and say, we need more money for maintenance and safety, and people can say, wow, that's just another government official asking for more of my money. And with you, I can say, no, we are asking for more money to do things like we've already done through East Portland in Motion, so that we can do the things that we haven't done yet that are listed in East Portland in Motion. And that is just so powerful to say it's not just the government needs more money. It's that committed activists have worked with the city to identify specific priorities with compelling justifications. So that just, it is so wonderful to have advocates like you who have done the work you've done and be able to point to that to justify and explain why we do need more revenue to do very important things.
You know, Mike, you mentioned the building social capital. Having remembered the first meeting of EPAP, we were meeting in East Portland in a, I think in the library. Or
the council came out to East Portland to adopt the plan at the Midland Library.
Midland
yes.
Library.
Yeah.
And I think at that point it's safe to say that there were a lot of people in the room, but not a lot of relationships that had been built. And that's changed markedly. And everyone who's presented today has, at one time or another, been advocating for something that they wanted the council to do or an individual commissioner in charge. And that was part of the spark that we were hoping would happen. I'm sorry Commissioner Fritz isn't here, because I do think a conspicuous success this past year has been her ability to fund 20 acres of new parks. And Arlene has waited a long time for that to happen. It's one of the dividends of a big run on permits for multifamily housing throughout our community. We can thank the developers in the Lloyd District and throughout our city that we now have those dollars to build out parks. And Commissioner Novick has brought a particular focus on East Portland safety and transportation and actually gone out to events to showcase those kinds of things. And you can go on and on and on. Dr. Gray, you know, a couple of years ago knocked on Amanda's door and my door and said, why don't we have a soccer field? You know, and she made it happen. And Lori was recently hosting an event where Midland was hoisting a new banner to create an identity for the business association and pulling people together. And you can go on and on and on, but this is what I think we all hope would happen. Mm-hmm. And what you've said today in your presentation is we still have a lot more work to do. And I use my own analogy of a small M Marshall Plan, because you do a great job of identifying specific areas, but I think a challenge for the council is to every budget cycle come up with a package and say this is what we can do collectively, and not just celebrate the individual wins, but come up with a package that we can as a council commit to. And I think we've made progress towards that. So I think it's we who should be thanking you for all the work that you've done to make this happen and to strengthen the connection between the community and the council, because it has been palpable. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I just want to comment. I mean, I think the grants, both in how much you've leveraged in civic activism and in dollars, and then how much you've leveraged in terms of bringing communities of immigrants and people of color into public life, we've seen a lot of evidence of how well that's working in terms of people getting engaged, and it's really, it's obviously having a positive effect. I don't know, you know, I've talked to some other mayors who've had the kind of demographic change that we've had in Portland over the last 10 or 20 years, or at least some version of it. I don't know of anybody, maybe other than Minneapolis, who's doing anything close to what you're doing, what we're doing through this and other efforts, the DCL program and other things. And I think it's really remarkable to see how well it's working in terms of engagement of community members, people coming to budget hearings and testifying for the first time ever, you know, things like that. It's just we see these sort of indices of health in the community as a result of this kind of work. And so it's to me, it's a classic case of how community-based innovation, you know, which we've always tried to practice through ONI and through the whole neighborhood system in Portland, really works. So I'm really appreciating what everything you're doing. This is, you know, this is really a success story.
Thank you for saying what we're doing.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. Well, great work.
Because we're working together.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, please.
I have just one more comment for Laura Wintergreen, and I'm just saying this because I'm a little punchy after the last 10 days, but when Karen Gray was saying that the only weapons you have are, you know, the IPAP has her integrity, commitment, energy, and Laura Wintergreen, there was something about the way she said it that reminded me of Monty Python's the Spanish Inquisition, when they would say, our chief weapons are surprise, fear, an almost fanatical adoration of the Pope, and bright red cloaks. So now, Laura, I think I need to buy you a bright red cloak somewhere and present that to you at some future event.
Perfect. All right. If she shows up in a bright red cloak, we know we're in big trouble. Oh, thank you all. Great work. And we will set this over for 1 week and have a council quorum here then.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Well done. And we're adjourned for the week. Thank you.
Can we get them to take a picture, of course?